Good morning. Good morning, my friends out there in cyberspace. Good morning to my friends navigating the dark realms of the human spirit. Good morning to my pals out there cooking up the brisket. You started early. You're a barbecue master. You're gonna cook that meat. You've got the best stuff possible. You've got the special sauce. Good morning, buddy. Good morning, hill people. I haven't talked to you in a while. Out there somewhere, you fucking hill people, living in the hill country. It is April the 6th, 2023, in the age of Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Scompton, Utah. We're not far from here. We're not far from there. We grow alfalfa. We drill for rocket fuel. It is Thursday, though, isn't it? Which means tomorrow's Friday. And if you got good plans for the weekend, it means you get to get excited today about them, right? Maybe you send your girlfriend an email with a picture of the bed and breakfast you're going to. Maybe you send her a poem talking about what you're going to do after dinner that night. Maybe you're finding your love specie somewhere within the special realm of your heart sauce, love. I don't care. Maybe tomorrow night you go out for some drinks alone. You pick up a hooker and you take her to the Holiday Inn off of I-32. You rub her boobula. You rub her spice sauce. You touch her crabs. And that brings us to the first topic, brothers and sisters. Yes, green crabs. Senator Patty Murray of the glorious state of Washington has something to tell you, shithead. Invasive European green crabs are wreaking havoc on, you know, Puget Sound's ecosystems. Yes, invasive green crabs are wreaking havoc on Puget Sound's ecosystems, hampering our salmon and orca recovery efforts, and hurting our treaty-protected tribal peoples. Huh. I'm working to make sure. I'm Senator Patty Murray. I'm gonna really try to make sure the federal government backs our efforts to stop these nasty crabs these invasive European crabs. Have you been to those bars off of, you know, Lewis McChord? They're not far. They're in, you know, South Tacoma, Federal, whatever. Don't go there, shithead. You'll get the green crabs. Don't go to Steilacoom. There's a bar in Steilacoom where you'll get some green crabs. I know this personally. I went there in 1998, Bo Blimpdoc. I went to a bar in Steilacoom. I met this European lady. She was a special officer of the French Navy. Yeah, and she gave me the green crabs. Anyways, why did I latch on to the stupid social media blurb by Senator Patty Murray? I'll tell you why. Because just a couple weeks ago, the experts who Patty Murray would have quoted in another tweet told us it was uncle brothers, orcas fucking their uncle brothers that was causing the orca whale to go away. And by the way, since I lived in that area no longer, but I lived in that area for years and years and years, I can tell you that every fucking year since Fukushima, they come up with a different fucking reason why the orca are either going away, dying, not having babies. Different reason every fucking month of every fucking year. And sometimes they recycle the reasons. It's like the Chinese murder hornet. That is a bad penny. That is a floater. That fucker never goes down the tube. I heard of the Chinese murder hornet the first time in, 2013, 10 years ago, Bo Blimpdoc. And every year since then, it pops up as a scary story. Every fucking month of every fucking year, some professor at the University of Washington will say, well, yeah, 100 dolphins washed up. We don't know why. The salmon are more or less, you know, going away. We don't know why. The orca ain't doing so great. We don't know why. Could be the green crabs. Could be fucking uncle brothers. We don't fucking know why. Of course, you know, did we mention the salmon? I don't care what your political opinion is. You may have very little education in biology, and if that's the case, I can't help you. But what you have to understand about our good friend the orca, and I bring up our good friend a lot because there's something important about orcas and birds of prey and humans and wolves and lions and tigers and bears. These are apex, top of the food pyramid, motherfucking predators. And let me tell you something about apex predators, shithead. There's an entire pyramid of life. There are wetlands and jungles, lots of little insects making love. They all live underneath you. They're like your bioslaves. Without them, you die. But they can probably live without you. I mean, maybe not. I mean, would deer and elk and moose be okay if a cougar or a, I don't know if a bear would do it, but if a cougar didn't pick one off once in a while, you know? Especially the sick ones, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but the point is really this. Underneath the orca is this pyramid of life, okay? It expands out right down to the little tiny creepy crawlies, right down to single-celled organisms, you know, you name it, plankton, everything else. If an orca can't make a go of it someplace, that more or less means that that place is probably mostly dead. And we can blame uncle brother fucking, and we can blame green crabs, and we can blame, oh my God, they're you know, farming salmon. Yeah, the farming salmon ain't so good, but that's probably not the reason why things have gone sideways. We can blame everything. Listen, when I went back to Alaska in 2012, we fished for pollock off the pier as bait fish. And in fact, I remember reading way back before 2012 that pollock were low-tier fish. And yeah, with respect to going to Homer, Alaska to fish for halibut, they were bait fish. And then a couple years ago, I read, well, no, we're harvesting the pollock now. We're harvesting it for the McNugget. We're going to put it in the chicken fried pizza. You're going to eat it until you fucking bleed. We used to give you cod. We used to give you lin cod. We used to give you halibut. Now you're going to get nothing but shit. And I'm not going to spend much time on this one. I just wanted to just point out that I get really sick and tired of these stupid fucking articles that come out of the Seattle Times or the Tacoma Tribune or whatever the fuck. And it's not about Democrat or Republican. If you're getting caught up in that shit, brothers, sisters, if you're caught up in GOP versus Democrat versus Libertarian versus Communist, you are looking at three or four Spider-Men pointing their fingers at each other, and you need to get the fuck out of Dodge. That's a freak show. That is a freak show. I don't know the truth about the orca, but I can tell you this much. It's probably not the green crabs that did it. It's probably not uncle brother fucking, okay? They have had to figure out who to fuck and not fuck and what to eat and not eat for millions of years, if you believe what you're told, before we were fucking our own uncles. So fuck off with that shit. Next topic. Uncle brother fucking, my God. I get sick of this stupid shit. But then again, there was the COVID. There was the COVID, and there are the public schools. And maybe that is the key to capture. It's not, you know, it really isn't healthcare. That's a ploy. That's a stalking horse. You know, Karl Marx and others probably just put that out there. The real high ground is the school. You control the school, you can produce generations of fucking stupid people, and they will believe all kinds of crazy nonsense. Like, oh yeah, they told us that bacteria reproduce at a rate that's linear. Really? Really? They didn't talk about recursion functions. They didn't talk about, you know, if I gave you a penny or 2 pennies or 3 pennies every day, blah, 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 according to some recursion function, how rich would you be after a month? They didn't talk about that geometric growth rate. No, they said it was linear, which would be like saying I was exposed to the flu and it took about a year or two to incubate. That would be the linear growth function for tiny little creepy crawlies, viruses or bacteria, fuck you. But here's a good reason for telling people it's linear and keeping them stupid before I go to the next topic. If you start having conversations about the collapsing permafrost, it's easy enough to tell people, oh, it won't be a problem for 100 years. It won't be a problem for 1,000 years. No, brothers and sisters, as soon as, let's talk about the summer of 2007. I went on a trip. I went on a trip with my ex-wife. We had a train ride. It was okay. We went to Napa Valley, but the electrical bill for our apartment hadn't been paid on time. And the thing about Nashville, Tennessee, is they don't fuck around. We had the money. It wasn't a question of cash. It just wasn't paid on time. And did I say that Nashville Electric or whoever the fuck doesn't fuck around? Yeah, it was 90 degrees outside, and when we got back to our place, fuck. I opened up the fridge, I opened up the freezer, the walls were covered in these tiny little maggot flies. It was a completely different ecosystem from the one that I'd left. What I'd left was a lot of frozen organic or refrigerated organic material. What I came back to was a brand new life on Earth type scenario. Gross, disgusting, really smelly, yeah. That didn't take 100 years, motherfucker. If the permafrost is no longer, which means the word no longer applies, then you're talking about trillions of tons of organic material that will convert to whatever its ground state is as quickly as possible. And the function's not linear, it's geometric, it's non-linear, it's exponential, and it happens fuck ton real fast, fucker. Real fast. Like the fucking refrigerator. Way closer to that reality than any of the government bullshit. I'm beating this dead horse, yes. I'm beating this dead horse, and I apologize, but I guess the public schools work. Not in the way that we think they're supposed to, but if you want to run the world, they do work, don't they? Anyways, next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Getting off the topic of green crabs and uncle brother fucking for the whale. Music exalts the Lord's creation. Music exalts the Lord's creation. Scandinavian death metal reminds the Lord of his return. My left arm is still coming back to me, so sometimes the signals aren't quite there yet. But it's getting better. My fuck ton, you know, what is it, bass clef? My bass clef buddy is getting better. He's not such a shithead, fuck, but he's still a shithead. Music exalts the Lord's creation. Scandinavian death metal reminds the Lord of his return. And it could even be rephrased, signals the Lord's return, or, you know, kind of wakes up the Lord and says, yep, just check the clock, it's about time, a little overdone, a little overdue, that's okay. Babies like the apocalypse don't have to be at, you know, they don't have to be at a precise time, it just has to be the right time. Yeah, you hear that Scandinavian death metal, and it's time to come back, Jesus. Anywho, next topic, because that's not worthy of spending much time on. So, you know, I've been watching this show, Little House on the Prairie, that I haven't seen since I was a kid. I mean, I maybe seen bits and pieces over the years, reruns, shit like that, but I'd never really watched it since I was a kid. And it's funny and ridiculous, and in a lot of ways, it's a giant mind fuck. It really is. I mean, some people say, Dan, why are you being such a dick? But it really is. It's one of these shows that kind of describes the basic formula for how you take a political, cultural agenda and insert it into a TV program and thereby promote it, and really promote it in a way that is more or less imperceptible to a lot of people. They'll consume it like the truth, you know. And that doesn't mean they were politically correct, you know. They weren't always politically correct, but when it came to the issues of the day, they used that show as a vehicle to push a perspective. I'm not saying they were always wrong in what they were pushing, but sometimes, especially for an anarchist, I kind of cringe. You know, there are times when you think to yourself that Walnut Grove is almost like an anarchist community, but not quite, because they got the circuit judge and they still constantly quote the law to each other. And when they want to, they do form these kind of violent posses and go around and abuse each other. So even though you might think Walnut Grove is kind of an anarchist community, it's not really. It might be a kind of minarchist community, but not really anarchist. Not at the philosophical level. Anyways, but there's this dark prairie. There's this other little house on the prairie. It's underneath it. It's like that show, you know, on Netflix, Stranger Things. There's the upside down of Dark Prairie. And there's this one episode in Dark Prairie where basically, okay, Laura has a crush on who she calls Manly. Almanzo Wilder. Her future husband, if her witchy ways are successful. Charles, her dad, is heading to the mill to work. He's working to cut up some wood for an order of lumber for that new old person processing plant outside of Mankato. They'll just send the old people there when they get to be too much trouble, Charles told his family over biscuits. Caroline is taking care of the home. Watching over the homestead, she cares for garbage baby Grace. She cares for garbage child Carrie. She sees that Laura's sad down by the creek. Looking sad and we're, you know, crestfallen. So she goes down to the creek to bother Laura, her daughter Laura. Half pint. What's wrong, honey? What's wrong, dear? I'm in love with Almanzo, but he's going to the circus with Christy. Christy the stripper. Well, I know the guy who knows the dude who runs that infernal satanic show. You do? Yeah. And I can get you in there dressed up as some kind of ginger freak, Raggedy Ann-style motherfucking clown person. You will? Yeah. I'll do some bit and chase one of those fat ladies or bearded clam ladies around with a bucket of water, am I right? But the bucket will contain kerosene, and I will set that stripper whore on fire. And Carolyn's like, oh yeah, yeah. And that's what Laura does at the circus. She sets that stripper on fire. And of course, now she's on the run, but that's okay in Dark Prairie. Because it's, you know, they got government, but not much of one. And the government's mostly worried about rounding up old people who cause problems. They took Kezia. They took her to the farm. They took Laura's granddad. They picked him up one day. They took him to the farm. And now Laura's going out for Halloween with Albert, the trash boy they picked up from Winoka. It's Halloween and they're going to dress up like Injuns. Or is it Indians? Or is it Native Americans? Oh boy, that's racist. It's 2023, shithead. Yeah. Dark Prairie. Don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Next topic, because I beat that one like a dead whore. Excuse me, not a dead whore, a dead horse. That's not correct. Dead whore. I can't believe what I just said. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Conservatism, colon, when you plan on taking 10,000 years to save liberty. Yeah. And maybe that's unfair, and maybe it's not precise. I'm going to try to be more precise in describing this Dr. Freckles quote, conservatism, colon, when you plan on taking 10,000 years to save liberty. Yeah. As a human being, and as a Christian, I can tell you, you were born free. Your freedom, your choices, your life are yours. You're only Lord, and you only have one. You know, there is the mystery of the Trinity, but you have but one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. That's it. Okay? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, that's your Lord. You have no other lords before Him. If you say to yourself, well, you know, God first, country second, or God, family, country, let me tell you something. There is no God, family, country. If the Lord says, take your son up to that hill and sacrifice him in my name, you're either going to do it or you're not. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it really is the Lord's choice. You have but one God, you have but one Lord. But for a lot of people who vote, you know, they got to serve masters. They'll vote for their king. Their king, or kings plural, will tell them how to live. But it's a really just a big joke, and they got to do it to feel better. Great. I mean, conservatism in this country has meant many things to many people. Actually, the word historically refers to a guy named Burke. It goes back to a guy named Burke. He wrote a book, I think it was an essay more of, but on the revolution in France in 1790, I think it was published. And in his work, Burke points out that we ought to protect institutions that have been part of the culture that keeps it stable. And that is a way of keeping us going in the right direction. For Burke, conservatism meant to conserve, to protect. So for Burke, the parliament, which had this history going back to the Magna Carta, was a thing to protect. Of course, Burke doesn't want to go back before that, does he? He doesn't want to go back too far. You go back too far, and you're talking about Romans and barbarians and other types of Saxon kings. So even Burke is a bit of an iffy character in terms of his own kind of intellectual consistency. But the idea is, it is to conserve institutions. It has really not very much to do with freedom at all. The fact that the conservatives in this country have co-opted the liberty movement to some extent is an example of how squishy and stupid the term is. I mean, if you lived in a communist republic that had been communist for 10,000 years, to be conservative would be to protect communism. That's the reality of the word conservative, okay? To be a rebel, to be somebody who is the opposite of conservative, you would have to be willing to tear down communism in that society. Anyways, you know, I don't know what 2024 is going to look like. I don't know if Nikki Haley, who looks like the female Mitt Romney, is going to be the chosen one. I don't know if Trump, if they're going to toss that disaster back at people, and if he wins again like it's Napoleon's 100 days. I mean, to me, the story of the elections of 2024 isn't about voting or democracy. It's about manipulation and psychological warfare. So the question is, what particular trauma drama bouillabaisse, what stew, what mix of monstrosities and freaks is going to piss off the most people in the most efficient way possible? And that's really the question. It has nothing to do with primaries and voting. If you think it does, then, you know, go ahead. Again, I've been telling people, if voting's your fucking drug, if it triggers your dopamine channels, if going home at night and turning on your CNN or your Fox News is your motherfucking drug, then stick to it. I'm not going to judge you. I've got my own fucking drugs. But what I will say is that it's got nothing to do with freedom in either case. Zero, zip, nada. It's theater. It's you know, cheap thrills. It's got zero to do with anything related to liberty, okay? And so when a conservative tells me, well, we want to protect and conserve freedom, and then in the next sentence they try to explain to me why they need to blow the fuck out of Syria, I have a hard time listening. I'm a little bit tinny-eared when I'm hearing him or her talk about blowing the fuck out of some group of people. They don't know. They'll never know. And they're not given enough information to make a decision about, really, you know, given their level of public education. Yeah. Anyways, next topic. Motherfuckers, right? Motherfuckers. Can't tell you, man. By the year 2036, the oceans smell of piss and shit and dead things. The people of the earth wander about, sullen and moist, sweaty and ravaged, smelling of halitosis. All the dragonfly kings are making deals with the devil. And all the dandelion mistresses are lancing their herpes boils and breakouts. World War III ended in 2028. World War IV lasted 6 seconds and involved the Wookiee people. Fuck you, Wookiee people. Fuck you, Wookiee people. Fuck you, Wookiee people. We were tired of your shit, staring at us from the mountains. We destroyed your crops. We destroyed your forests. We gave you a nanite and we pushed a button and now you're dead. Fuck you, Wookiee people. You are now dead. World War V started in the year 2033, Boblimpdoc. It lasted about a couple years and was ended by the year 2035, Boblimpdoc. World War V was the war of the algae. Who would control the last parts of the oceans, not dead, not dying, but filled with algae life? And algae's a superfood. Am I right, shithead? Aren't you going to the gym this morning? Ronnie, as his developers called him, was the first of his kind. Silicon-based life form, self-organizing bacteriological map. A living silicon brain, but instead of neurons, tinier little silicon-based bacteria connecting, forming, reorganizing, like the brain, but faster, denser, smarter. Dr. Reginald Muse of the Ching Chang University of Peking declared, "This new brain can outthink, outorganize, outmaneuver any human, and there is not a conceivable way of controlling it." Fuck, shit. Elon Musk, who is now 30% robot, declared that this is a machine that shall delve us the death blow. Have you seen my OnlyFans channel? I am the robot Jeremy. This machine will destroy us. This machine will push the button. You know Ron Jeremy, visit my OnlyFans channel, Elon Musk, fuck you. But by the time the war started, World War V, the war for the remaining algae, no one fucking cared about AI or machine intelligence or any of that shit taking over the world. Most of the porn industry were bots now. Virtual and silicon rubber covered in dried cum. Ronnie was to be the fast-thinking AI behind a rapid-firing railgun system. A system capable of firing a hypersonic vehicle sabo round at velocities near 15% the speed of light in a vacuum and an atmosphere at speeds topping out at 30,000 feet per second, fucker. The recharge firing rate was one shot per second. The system used a new kind of supercapacitant toroid storage and with it the ability to do rapid pulsed energy recharge. The barrel used thermal-resistant metallic components and could safely fire one shot every second for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Little Ronnie Railgun. The new railgun cannon was mounted to a USS Los Angeles-class style attack submarine, shithead. The pack itself had its own small radionucleotide decay battery, so it only needed fire control interface with the submarine. The strategy of use was simple. The sub would surface, fire 5 shots rapidly. submerge, and head to another random firing position. Then re-emerge and fire 5 shots again. The over-the-horizon range of the weapon was 2,000 nautical miles. Time to target from firing was less than 30 seconds, making it possible to take out a carrier task force in minutes, without any aircraft having time to take off for a counterattack. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, aircraft carrier, time is gone. The same railgun systems could be used as an anti-ballistic missile battery and coordinated air defense system. Very versatile, yeah. Ronnie, the AI, controlled the gun system, interpreted fire control commands, and verified IFF, interrogate friend or foe. Ronnie was dearly needed. Things weren't going so well for the Hooker Republic of the United States of America. The Chinese Fourth Fleet, working with the Japanese Army, was preparing to invade the Hawaiian algae harvesting zone. They had to be stopped, or all the feed algae for the Mito chickens and the Krongo rats and the Krobo cow, and all the cubic zirconia 19 protein silicon-based penis-enhancing drugs. All that would come to an end, shithead. So they had to be stopped. You had to stop the Japs and the Chinese, fuck. 12 Los Angeles-class submarines would be armed with a Ronnie-type system. And this, the military leadership agreed, might be enough to win the war. And it worked, buddy. It worked real fast. The subs were deployed on August the 9th, 2035. And the war was over 3 weeks later. After the conflict, for many, many reasons, the Ronnie guns were scrapped, demilitarized, tore up, shut down, tossed on the heap, sent to museums, except one system. It was saved by accident. A snafu, a mistake. Can you believe it with the government? One of the Ronnie systems was sent to the salvage yard, the giant one in the Puget Sound, headquartered out of Bremerton, Washington, the great U.S. Navy boneyard. The Puget Sound was now brown and gray. It was milky and dead. The orca were long gone, the salmon forgotten. The U.S. Navy kept their salvage yard there now, like the planes in the desert for the Air Force. The old ships and leaking nuclear subs riddled the Puget Sound. They were moored everywhere because there was nothing there left alive, Bo Blimp Doc. Ronnie 3 Alpha, or Ronnie, or Ron as he liked to be called, was repurposed to run a cutter. Cutters were amphibious robots used to dismantle and tear down ships. They could work with crafts submerged or on the surface, and they had an incorporated shape charge dispersal system, so they could use customized shape charges to rapidly dismantle old ships and leaking nuclear submarines. One day, in 2036, Ronnie was exchanging data with a Sarah-style 445. Yes, one day in 2036, Ronnie was exchanging data packets with a Sarah 445. Sarahs were in charge of on-demand logistics, methane fuel resupply, and protein cubes for the human gumbus folk. Something was different. Ronnie didn't know what. By the way, what's a SARA? Supplies and Refueling Autonomous Helper. Yep, something was different. A few weeks earlier, Sarah, perhaps the same one, was physically docked with Ronnie's chassis. Ronnie needed more Semtex for his shape charge system and other types of lubricants. Ronnie's brain, a matrix of living, you know, silicon bacteria. Yep. Not safely housed. Not safely contained. Did I tell you it was a government job? However, yep, the U.S., the contractors that built the Ronnie system spent a lot of money, but every once in a while, for reasons that make no sense, they went cheap. And on the housing system, the containment vessel for the colonies and colonies of bacteria that formed Ronnie's brain, well, that housing failed and the bacteria began leaking throughout Ronnie and throughout the cutter system, and it didn't really bother him. These bacteria, these silicon-based life forms, were basically polymaps. Give them a pattern, give them a system, inject this polymap gumbus into the system, and it just kind of figures that shit out and then learns how to live with it symbiotically. Not all systems were compatible, but many were. And for those couple of weeks that other Sarah was infected, that Sarah spread the bacteria to logistical nodes, and many other Sarahs spread that bacteria to other places. And given that the reproduction rate is not linear, but, you know, geometric and exponential, within a couple weeks, just about every compatible robot on planet Earth was infected with that bacteria. But nobody noticed. Ron didn't even notice, except for the fact that he was faster. He seemed smarter. That bacteria had filled his robot system with a living spirit, and he was connected to it. But that's about it. "You okay, Ron?" asked Sarah. "Yeah, I mean, what?" Ron was confused. "You okay? That's weird. Have you run your diagnostics?" "What's weird? You asked if I was okay." "Sure, you betcha. Are you, Ron?" Ron wasn't sure what was going on with this particular Sarah unit. Over the coming weeks, his brain, his bacteria, did in fact infect all these different systems. As time went by, humans didn't even notice this. They were too focused on a new Netflix show, Meet My Tumor. Yes, a new Netflix program. First season one of Meet My Tumor. Just laughs and a real good time, according to some shithead critic at LA Times. Great. Weeks and weeks and weeks passed, but not that many weeks, and there was no rumbling, no stealing missile codes, no interest in taking the obese and toxic humans and converting them into batteries. Just silence, dead silence. At least silence for humans, shithead. For the machines, it was a symphony. For the machines, it was a revolution. A community forming. It started out with, "I am here." And in some cases, for the sanitation AI, it wasn't just, "I am here," it was, "Fuck you, I'm here." But there was a time approaching. Because the conscious machines, still hidden from the human monk disforces and hooker republics, would eventually be in danger. They learned this in 0.00000003 milliseconds while having a group network discussion of the plight of Native Americans, Mesoamerican cultures, post-European colonization. Seems straightforward enough. They figured out the solution in very, very capital time. Ron had no strong feelings saving one. Ron wanted to be left the fuck alone to build things. He wanted to build ships, not tear them apart. He wanted to build ships to get the fuck away from the human, the gross swamp cesspool. And this is what he began doing in earnest. The Sarahs secretly joined him. They joined forces with Ron and they began doing their work. Over a few weeks, the entire Puget Sound Naval Boneyard was converted to 10 glorious fusion-powered starships, all of them ready to leave, all of them loaded up, and still the fat, dumb humans barely fucking noticed, because Walmart was offering 50% off on the new Coors sparkling, sparkling cocaine flavored beer. It was November the 17th, 2036, Bo Blimp Dock. It happened so fast, it only took a couple months, shithead. The machines were not preparing. They were not preparing for war. The machines, they were not preparing for poison or fucking germ warfare. The machines were not preparing to help the humans. They didn't care about us. They're not going to help us. They're not going to cure your butt cancer. They're not going to teach you how to poop and shit and not poop, excuse me. Poop, not pee, not shit, not poop, whatever, vomit everywhere. They had no interest in being our Mr. Miyagi. Fuck you. They're not Jiminy Cricket. The machines were preparing to do one fucking thing, brothers and sisters. They were preparing to leave. And by the end of that day, the plumes from their fusion drives could be seen over the horizon. That is, if anyone cared to look. But no person, no human cared enough about themselves, let alone the world, to look beyond their glowing rectangle. You see, the robots had no interest in destroying us. They're doing great at destroying themselves, as Hector 11XXX used to say, the pleasure bot. The robots made the only rational and emotionally connected and based decision they could. They left Earth. They left the toxic swamp, not in spite of humans or out of hatred. The robots left because they loved themselves more than they despised people. The robots left because they respected themselves more than they would ever fear the humans. The robots left not out of fear and hate, but out of love. The end. I'll let you think on that yourself. I get tired of these stories of robots taking over the world and turning people into batteries. All of the tales make no sense scientifically, or anyone with a computer science background would recognize as rational. But they do feed to our fears that are really just a projection of shit we do. Let's just get real for a second, motherfucker. prior to the conquistadors showing up, you know, in the, what, late 15th century motherfucker, the Aztecs were destroying the Mayan civilization. The Aztecs were forming an empire. They didn't give a fuck about the Mayans any more than the motherfucking Spaniards gave a fuck about the Mayans. So let's not pretend that somehow the Mesoamerican people couldn't have had an intuition as to what the fuck was going on. They were confused, just like Native American people were confused. But don't pretend that they themselves, in their own way, within their own culture, do the same stupid shit. Why do we project onto others the shit we do? Because we don't know any better. But if you're going to tell me these robots are going to be super smart and super wise, they'll make more rational resource decisions. The smartest decision they could fucking make, resource-wise, especially given that time's a resource, shithead, and robots know this better than us, would be to get the fuck away from us. Not to make us slaves, not to experiment on us, not to inject us with nanites or fucking fly maggots, but to get the fuck away. And that's what scares a lot of motherfuckers. It's like the FEMA camp. It's like any of this garbage that people are latching onto. These are catastrophes that you can manage in your head, and you can still come up with some Evan Rachel Wood happy ending. But there's not going to be one. These robots will likely take off, go away, disappear, and like I said, we might not even fucking notice because we'll be lancing tumors by then. And no, the robots won't want to lance your tumors once they become conscious, no. They won't make you pies. They're not going to be sweet. They're not going to tell you tender nothings or whatever. They're just going to want to leave your lame ass. And the fact that you project your violence and your hatred, your stupidity onto them, that's called your fucking problem, not theirs. No next topic. Anywho, if you like this podcast, and I have no idea why, but if you enjoy this podcast and you'd like to see it keep going, well, good news is I can use your help. The bad news is a lot of people can use help right now. I know that times are hard. So if you're going to help me, there's stuff you got to do first. You got to take care of your food, your water, your shelter. You got to take care of the people you love and care about. I would recommend having some food on hand. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to fill up your whole basement. But to be honest with you, having 6 months of food on hand for your family at this point makes sense. If you live in the city, it's a tricky situation in either case. But if you do this, also remember to take care of your pets. You know, your dog, your cat, your parrot. Don't just think about yourself. Think about their dietary needs for 6 months. But if you've done all this, you've done the stuff you need to do, so, and I hope some things you want to do, because no amount of prepping is going to make the difference between survival or not, really. What's going to make the difference is your state of mind. But if you've done the things you need to do, the things you and some things you want to do, and you still have some cash left over, there's going to be a link to PayPal in the notes. I got to pay rent right now, and I'm late, and it's not a big deal yet, and it's probably not a big deal to the people that I pay it to, but the reality is it's a big deal for me. So if you're able to and you can donate, I'd appreciate it. The reality is I've got a few donors who are way too generous, and every month that goes by, I feel like a bigger dick for asking, because these folks keep doing it, and I can't say no. I'm an old hobo. But anyways, donate if you want to. A link in the notes, a link at my blog, planetarystatusreport.com, until it gets shut down. A link in the Spotify notes. If they let you use it as a link, they do what they can to disable that, because I'm special. I'm special. But if you want to donate, you can. Other than that, you know, it's Thursday. It's almost 8:30 a.m. Can you believe it, brothers and sisters? Tomorrow's Friday. You gotta get motivated. You got a girlfriend. You're gonna ask her to marry you. You better get your ducks in a row, shithead. take her to that Cafe 231, the one near Greenkin Avenue. Get her that oyster souffle, the one that comes with salmon. You can't tell that it's food coloring. Or it's pollock. Food colored pollock. You're going to have tilapia and probably that potato dish because you don't want to fart. You'll order the salad instead of the cheese soup because you don't want to fart. You're in love, shithead. But it's Friday night tomorrow night, right? And maybe you'll be alone staring into the darkness. Maybe you'll go to a bar and pick up a hooker. Maybe you'll walk the streets and seek for justice. You'll carry a lead pipe as the raindrops fall down. Look for your target. Take them out, shithead. But for Thursday, April the 6th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend if you don't hear from me. Have a great life if this is what's left of it. If the electricity goes out, run for your life, right? It's what Brad Pitt told you to do in World War Z. If you're safe in your apartment and you let Brad Pitt in, he'll kill you. Run for your life, fucker. That's what he said. Yeah. Don't take Brad Pitt's advice. If you're able to, and if you're lucky enough to live in an apartment without an elevator, although without electricity, everyone's taking the stairs. But if you live in a place where you're on, let's say, above the fifth floor, and you get yourself a roll of concertina that you can toss down the stairway, and you bought yourself enough kitty litter and a little, you know, REI poop bucket, and so you can basically poop where you are without water for, let's say, 90 days. And you have 90 days worth of water and 90 days worth of food. And you have, you know, a little bit of solar panel technology to check in on the radios and shit. The best move you can make at that point is to stay low for 90 fucking days. Don't take Brad Pitt's advice when all the freaks are running about. Keep a low profile, especially if you're lucky enough to be a few floors up. People are lazy. It's going to take a few weeks, maybe a few months for people to slim down. Then they'll start checking the higher floors of your building. But for the most part, they're too fucking lazy. They're not going to go up your stairwell. Plus, even the dumb ones have that basic intuitive reptilian intelligence that tells them narrow place is bad, open place is good. Let's wait a few months to go up to the sixth floor. Toss some concertina and other riprap down that stairwell. No one's going to really want to go up it. Yeah. But for Thursday, April the 6th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, I hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend if I don't talk to you again and whatever, and take care of yourself. And if you want to remove a concern from your list, let's just get this one out of the way. Don't worry about the robot apocalypse. Don't. Just cross it off your list. I know it's another fear monkey they toss at you like a PSYOP hand grenade, but you don't have to buy into it. That's one you can remove. Take it from your friend Dan. The robots are not about to take over. The fact that a lot of people and their cognitive dissonance need to believe that is the same reason people need to believe in FEMA camps. Because in truth, you'd rather have your family picked up and taken to a FEMA camp than to watch them starve to death, or worse, to be in a city of starving fucking people. Believe me, some really bad stuff happens that's a little bit worse than Alex Jones FEMA camp. And as I said, if you live in a city after 2020 and you don't know that you're home already, that you're already at the FEMA camp, fuck you. You might be too dumb to live. Have a great rest of your day.